on Shabbos. What do you do? So the first important thing is not to get stuck on Shabbos in the first place. That's it. They say the prevention is the best medicine. Unfortunately, there are many individuals that don't realize that you travel on Friday, you can easily get stuck. And I'm not bad that day. So look, so it takes an hour to get there, so I'll give myself 2 hours. They don't understand it on Friday, it'll take 3 hours, without exaggeration. And the nature of this city that we live in is that Friday afternoon is the most crowded time of the week. I don't understand why exactly that everyone's running for Shabbat. This is getaway, weekends, whatever it may be. And I happen to live in Riverdale. And getting to my house, you have very often to pass somewhere near the George Washington Bridge, which very often on Friday afternoons is a complete and unmitigated disaster. Everyone's trying to get away. And people come very late. It's happened that people have gotten stuck here in Yeshiva. And they were on the way to Riverdale. They got off, parked their car, came to Yeshiva, got with Myra, and then they walked. People then did the same thing and walked to New Jersey. Got with Myra, had a Shabbos meal, and walked to New Jersey. Came home to their families. The teenage, things of this nature. Yes?
Isn't there a problem with Erev walking that far?
Well, that's the next Misachta. That's Erev. The truth is, to make the short version of that is that although it certainly is more than 2,000 hours to walk from Washington Heights either to Riverdale or to New Jersey, there's this concept called Ribua Ha'ir. Ribua Ha'ir means you square off the city. If you square off Manhattan, I'll take you to Fort Lee, and I'll take you to the Bronx. So you know, that sounds, gets you across both bridges. That's the short answer to an important question.
Would that work in the third zone, Narrows Bridge also?
So I do not know. I don't know. That's the world that goes there. But I can't answer that question. Anyway, so it's very, very important that people don't leave the last minute. You know, I say it to you because since Eliyahu asked me to talk about this topic, that's the most important thing you'll hear today. Much more important than what to do if you get stuck is don't get stuck. You can't leave too early. Always leave early. If you have to go somewhere, leave. People have this shagas. I don't want them to get there early. Why do you want to get there early? Get there early. You'll take a safer. You'll learn. You'll be there. Why do people wait till the last minute? I don't understand. There's the whole issue of flying on Friday. That's a whole different parasha. Flying on Friday is not chatchil. If you leave Friday morning, it's a non-stop flight. Then it's not so bad. But people have famous stories, people getting stuck on airplanes on Fridays, landing in all kinds of unusual circumstances at the last minute. You may have heard the story of a plane that landed, I think, 2 minutes before Shabbos. It was Shabbos right after Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was Wednesday, last year. So those who left on Thursday, the plane was delayed. The plane from Philadelphia was delayed. And it finally took off and it landed, I think, just a few minutes before Shabbos. And they came with stuff to the airport. They might have food to eat. It was just wild. I'm proud to say that my son and son-in-law were on the plane. They got off. They didn't want to do such a thing. They have a family tradition. You don't do something which is too close. Too close for comfort. It wasn't so punched anyway, because the next, if you recall, the Sukkot was Monday. They had to fly Motzei Shabbos, and that's the land on Erev Yontif. At least at that day, the plane left more or less on time, so they were able to get there a decent hour. Not without their own excitement on their own, but you shouldn't be taking chances. I remember that I almost didn't follow my own advice. Rabbanu Shalom saved me in a certain way. It was a bris, my grandson's bris in Eretz was on a Friday morning, in summertime, June. And I had that Shabbos, I had to be in shul, I had an offer for the wedding on Sunday. I had to be there. The Menachesh, no problem. You got the plane leaves at whatever, it's 11 o'clock on Friday morning, lands at 5 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, whatever it is, on Friday afternoon. And Shabbos today, the sunset was 8:30. So what could be so bad? So I had a ticket. I actually passed through security. I'm talking about New York now, the Newark Airport. I got a call from my son, a different son. Avi, you're not going to fly. You're not going to fly. It's to me, you're not going to fly. There's a strike in Ben Gurion. Okay. 5 minutes later, the announcement. Sorry, strike. The plane is delayed for 8 hours. I think to myself, 8 hour delay. And when usually these things happen, at least, it was when the strikes end. I think it's backed up. I'll never make it back on time. So I just gave my ticket back, went back home to Mr. Briss. My wife and my brother were both curious. They wanted to know when that plane really come in. That was going to be on. It came on time. I would have made it back. But I was like, wouldn't have been look good to the Balabata. I keep saying they shouldn't do it, shouldn't fly the last minute. I did it myself. I was obviously Shas Abchak. I wanted to do my grandson's Briss, but didn't go to the Briss, Mr. Briss. The Briss went on without me. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I told my son, the Briss will be on time. Yeah. 8 o'clock Briss. Something like that. 8:30 Briss, whatever it was. And the Mayal is Moshele, the famous Moshele, son of the famous Yosele, Weisberg, Yerushalayim. He's always on time. Always on time. He calls it 10 Briss. That Briss that I wasn't at, he came half an hour late. Oy, Rabbi Avadja came to the previous Briss, and Rabbi Avadja comes, everything gets delayed. If I would have been, they would have been, a half an hour, that would have been good for me. All right. What if you actually get stuck on Shabbos? Depends where you get stuck. Mishnah says, Naf kuf nun gimel naman alf. Today's daf. Mishaech shet pederech. Remember, it happened. So guys, worry about his wallet. He's worried about his wallet. No sen kisa l'nachri. I'm going to tell one more family story. My father, Zechron of the Brocha, had a phrase which we grew up with. It was called Shabbos waits for no one. Shabbos waits for no one. You think you're a yachsin. They're not going to wait for you. When the Shabbos comes in, it comes, you better be prepared. And we all grew up with the following story. When I was an infant, there was a famous blizzard of 47. Before you were born. I think it's still the biggest blizzard in Newark history. I think so. Blizzard of 47. Of course, it's on a Friday, like all good blizzards. My father was at work at that point in time. My parents lived in Rockaway, in Auburn. As soon as he sees snow, he gets ready. Jumped on a Long Island Railroad. We get home in time for Shabbos. The train goes and goes. All of a sudden, stops. Middle of nowhere. An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. It's just stopped. I said, I'm sorry, I have to get off. Mr. can't get off. We're not at the station. Doesn't matter, I have to get off. He climbed off the train. Just went down into a snow mound. Starts walking. First thing he does, no sen kisa l'nachri. He saw the drugstore was open. Here's my wallet. Here's my watch. Here's my pen. Here's my... Just take everything. I'll come back tomorrow and I'll pick it up. He wouldn't know if he would get it back. No, it's a kisul enough. He did get it back. The guy was an honest fellow. And he's walking the streets. Mamish says, Mamish, who's in the street that hour? He found one guy walking to shul who he knew from yeshiva. It's middle, it was in Forest Hills, but Forest Hills, that was not like such a built-up neighborhood yet. So he got to where he was going. He got off, he took him to his house, had a place to stay. My mother, of course, didn't know anything. This was pre-cell phones, pre-everything. All the phones were down anyway. The father said, and the people stayed on the train, and the train didn't pull in until 3 hours after Shabbos. Could be, if you ask me, I'd say you should stay on the train. Could be Kuf Nefesh. Walk out into a snow mound, just to walk off a train. And what they do? Give your kiss to the conductor, some other guy on the train. And you're not doing anything. Obviously, the Chatzchim didn't want trains on Shabbos, Chatz V'Shalom. Such as Carl the Pikuach of Nefesh situation. I might understand that to stay on the train. My father was very upset. People said, the training got off. And it's part of our family tradition. Shabbos waits for no one. You have to get off the train if necessary. And that's all. So we grew up. So we try very hard not to get stuck. And my occupation has, I'm very rarely away for Shabbos. I'm usually in Riverdale. Shabbos trips off from Camp Morasha. We have to travel to the city for a Shabbos. I would leave a little bit later than I maybe should have. I didn't want to miss a shiur. So I would still have many hours to spare. And yeah, Baruch Hashem. The way up from the city to camp, that's fraught with disasters. Fraught. Because there's so much traffic on Friday afternoons. Wow. I'll leave at 3 o'clock. Shabbos not till 8:30. What could be bad? At least 3 o'clock for the five towns. And you get stuck on the cross blocks for an hour and a half. And then they're stuck in 17. And then who knows what? Huffing and puffing. It's really, really bad. It's not simple. It's not simple. Once my wife was driving up, well, she left early, but it was an accident, and she had someone in the car. Kids, she was the first to come. And she got off somewhere. It was also, we have to get cell phones and get off. And then she came in huffing and puffing just before Shabbos. And someone else couldn't make it. They had a, was getting off somewhere. I think they went to Catskill or somewhere. Couldn't make it up. So again, Sutton McCatrick and Erev Shabbos, you try very hard not to get stuck in the first place. If you get stuck, if you're in a train, you can stand. If you're a plane, you can't get off the plane. That's for sure. The plane's in the air, get stuck. I can get off the plane in the first place. That's a question of Chil Hashem. Famous story of a guy who was on a plane. It was delayed. It was now Erev Shabbos. Chest pains. They had chest pains. And is there a doctor in the house? Some guy was a yeshiva. Yeah, he's a doctor. He wasn't a doctor. He was a yeshiva man. But he got him off the plane. See, he got off the plane. The guy with chest pains got off the plane. The guy with chest pains had no chest pains. The guy in the doctor was no doctor. But when he found out about it, it was a Chil Hashem. Because the plane, you don't just call a plane back from a runway just like this. So the answer should be on the plane. You know, things get delayed indefinitely. You should try to avoid these things in the first place. Yes?
Is there a problem with Chumah? Let's say you're stuck on the plane, lands after Shabbos.
That's a major problem. What's happened in the case? The plane landed in Kennedy Airport. One of the Choshev Tamim of ours was on the plane. And it was delayed in England or something. And the question was, can he walk from the airport to Woodmere? There's a Chusel Chumah there. Long walk, but it's called the Tilbury Ribua. So I remember everything. Rabbi Simon, I got involved in that parachute. We started looking at the maps. We came to the conclusion it was permissible. So he got off the plane, he walked over with me. Meanwhile, we thought we were going to be stuck. No, they had that solar came. You could have stayed in the airport and had a Suda Shalom B'Shait. They came in force.
What about disembarking from the plane? Is that a problem?
No.
Why not? In other words, why is it not like a boat? Like, unless the boat, you know, pulls into dock on Shabbos, so you have to come Shabbos there, you can't get off the boat. So why would the plane, are you allowed to disembark from the plane?
That's a sugya for the next Masechta. But it could be the question of Tchum and the Malam Yasara, which is a Yibayat Lof Sheet of Masechta Eirim, which is just not for now.
Well, but it's Davar Muskam, that there is no...
Nothing's Muskam. Have you heard anything from me? It's Muskam. Everything is Muskam. Anyway, so what's it say over here? Dos and kisa l'nachmi. So if anything is a problem on Friday afternoon, do things to a guy. I once got a call from someone. My wife is in the Lincoln Tunnel with two kids. And nothing is moving. I heard on the radio. It was a crash. Nothing was moving. It wasn't her fault. For Passaic, right? I was sitting there for 2 hours. I told my Talmud, this wife was a knacker, a wife. She's getting all over her. She should find a guy, you know, get out of a car. I was getting out of the cars. Find a guy, like a car which has two passengers. Find one of them, give him $100, say, here, $100, you drive the car. Passaic, your friend will follow you. Here's my dress. That's she did. She went to look. She got some guy. The guy came into the car. He drove the car. And they ended in Passaic. And how can you ask a lady to do such a thing? Why not? But who's the guy? The guy's going to kill her. We assume the average guy is not going to kill her. And the guy didn't kill her, and the guy drove her to Passaic. And that's what you do. The person is, everything should be done through a guy. If you are in a car, he's in the middle of nowhere, pull to the side of the road. You can't go. That's the kuf nefesh mamish. You have no right to travel on Shabbos. You pull to the side of the road, put in the flashes. The cops will come. Ultimately, cops will come. Ultimately. Cops will say, no, I can't. The cop will drive your car. You have two cars, two cops in the car. So one of them will drive your car. I can't drive the car. Sarah, what the excuse may come? I can't drive. I can't see. And I love it. Whatever it is, they'll drive the car, take it to a police station, put it in some place to stay. You stay there. You can't. You're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. People just don't realize that. Unless the kuf nefesh mamish. Driving a car is a use of deraisa. Day nachri, mutter, the shas atchak go. Everything should be done through a gun.
Remember that case where you're telling her to be a passenger in the car and let
yes.
the boy, and so she was going to stay in the car until.
Yeah, what should I do? Walk out past it. It was the cool number. She had to stay there. I mean, she could have just turned off the motor and say, I'm not going anywhere. That would be nice, Chil Hashem. I'm not going anywhere. Imagine after they finally opened up the tunnel and there's one car stuck in the middle of walking the chops. That would not have been good. She got a guy to drive. Yeah.
I've heard a concept that if you're worried that the guy's going to steal your car, so you're going to have so much anxiety, so that's going to be similar to pikuach nefesh.
To people who have mental problems. So much anxiety.
I've heard like people that they're driving upstate, and it's so close to Shabbos, they don't want to be in the middle of nowhere, so they continue driving.
Not allowed. That's what you're not allowed to do. I know someone went to the Catskills, got stuck, spent Shabbos in the car. They had provisions and stuff enough to eat. And they had a sitter.
How do you open and close the door?
They can't close.
So
they did.
But then how do you?
That was in the old days when they had an order to just wind the windows down manually. No malach.
Huh?
Stay in the gun. Yeah, survived. Shabbos is precious. You don't realize that you can't just play with Shabbos. Let's be called nefesh.
What are the problems of being a passenger on a train on Shabbos?
So, in my opinion, the problem of being a passenger on a train is the zilzul of Shabbos. The place you'll find this, you know, there's a Gideon Mishnah Berurah Chelek Hey. I'll show you what this is. There's a halacha that, thank you so much, on Yom Tov, certain cases, someone passed away in Yom Tov. Yom Tov Rishi, you do certain things. Yom Tov Sheni, you can do other things. The question is, are there any limitations? So it says you can do certain malachas to a guy. Tough, kuf, chav, vav. Talks about what can be done. Here it says, Mishnah Berurah, that what you're not permitted to do is ride a horse. Ride a horse. It's a big deal about riding a horse. Riding a horse is not in Malacha D'oraisa. It's the Rabbanan, and not the certain Rabbanans for this purpose, the purpose of Kavura. So the Mishnah Berurah says that riding a horse is a zilzal of Shabbos. And as a zilzal of Shabbos, this is something which, Shabbos, Yom Tov, I should say, and this zilzal may not take place. So I think if you can't be on a train, it's a zilzal of Shabbos. That's a serious matter. It's not even though we have matter certain malachas, it's not matter that. But the concept of zilzal should be on a train. But, in the normal circumstances, Friday afternoon, it's a shot of Shasat Chagol, or car of the Sikuach Nefesh. You can stay on the train, but you can't drive your own car. So you can be a passenger in the car. Also, it's a Zilzal Shabbos. So you can't drive your own car. If you're a passenger in the car, it's not so bad, as we said before.
Yeah, is there a problem with both saw? Do you have things in your pocket?
Take things out of your pocket.
If a person stopped for Shasat Chagol in these cases, is this man 18 minutes after Adalaka?
This man is Shkia. Shkia is, you know, when the sun sets. You don't have to be mad. 2 minutes before, you say, go seven Shabbos. Till 2 minutes before Shkia, you can do what has to be done. Because it's Shasat Chagol. But Moshe says 2 minutes after Shkia, go seven Shabbos.
Rav, I just want to be clear on this with the train, because I know there's a woman, and it was a difficult time on a Friday afternoon, and she said she spoke to one of the rabbanim in your community, and the way I understood it, she said that she was a mother and a wife, and he and the Rav gave her, like, a heter to get on the train and go home on Friday evening. Is that...
Where was she?
I don't know. She was, I think, on the island. She lives in Riverdale, and she had to get home. And she,
I can't ask, excuse me, you're missing a piece over here. If she was in Long Island, had to get home, she should have left 3 hours before Shabbos.
Yeah, it was one of these days, like with a storm or whatever. It was like some difficulties doing, and
That's not all. I don't know. I'm missing a few, many pieces.
All right.
That means, yes.
How do we define Zilzal Shabbos?
It's a good question. Very good question. How do you define Zilzal Shabbos?
For example, is an escalator going on an escalator or Zilzal Shabbos?
I don't think so. If you're going to a... You're right in the hospital, at Milstein Pavilion. In the Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. 10-15 floors, you go up on the escalator. I think it's okay. And then he has that, it's okay. If you want to take the steps, it's fine, but I think an escalator is okay. Okay. Sure, I'll disagree with you.
But how do we define it?
It's not that there's a malacha involved with it.
Okay. Escalator is no malacha at all.
Or similar to it. It's not that.
It's not like
you're,
it's like
Uta D'chol
kind of thing?
Okay, it's Uta D'chol, Zilzal Shabbos, these are similar concepts.
Couldn't you get to the issue like with an elevator, like just like the elevator, they say you're making the you know, engine maybe go work a little bit harder or whatever when you get in there, so with the escalator, couldn't you argue the same thing would be true?
I don't think it's true.
All right.
I don't think it's true when it comes to an escalator. If I'm wrong, you let me know. Even the elevator, I'm not sure if it's a problem. Use a little extra electricity. I'm not sure it's really a problem either. Yeah, that's true. What's going to make them a shower if necessary? So those of you who are healthy, Baruch Hashem, should walk up the steps. But Shabbos elevators, they're on my tier. Anyway, back to our Gemara. Let me just first put it there. The Gemara says... We have the no chamor nowadays. That's not again a chamor. I just want to keep focusing on the idea that if you're stuck on Erev Shabbos, whatever you do through a goy has to be done. People don't realize it. They think, oh, I'll do it myself. You can't do it yourself. So if you're stuck in a car, stop the car and have a goy drive the rest of the way. Somehow I told you my funny case with the tunnel, or the cops will come. It's really a serious problem. People don't realize that these are serious halachas, and you should not be involved in chilul Shabbos has to show. Because driving a car, as I said, halacha deraisa, you press, put your feet on the gas, you're doing havara, multiple havaras. Something which has to be avoided at all costs.
Is there any safe way to do it, but is there any way to drive with
the shinui? The Shmir Shabbos Mechosa has the whole thing about how to drive with a Shinui. The one part of the safe I don't look at. You got to be. Only if it's not going to be dangerous. It's dangerous enough to drive without a Shinui. You're driving, you have to drive.
Is it okay to flag down a taxi and then go home with a taxi?
Yes. It does. If you can't, you're stuck somewhere. Like this lady that you had to ride the rabbi from my community said, it's okay. There must have been certain special circumstances. Like she's a wife and a mother. I sort of sympathize with that.
Right.
So what? So the family will manage without the wife and the mother. She'll find a place in Long Island, which is many good Jews living in Long Island. She'll spend Shabbos in Long Island. Her father, her husband, and her children will be in Riverdale. And she'll be strong. What's going on, baby?
It was a couple of years ago. I remember asking her, I said, how did you get home? And she said she spoke to Rabbi X, and Rabbi X's shita was that it's okay for her to get onto the train and to take another train. And to, I don't know. That's what she was saying to me.
I just don't understand why she couldn't spend the Shabbos in Long Island. It's a very beautiful place on Earth. Isn't that?
I think so.
I got you. People take too many liberties in Shabbos. It's very serious.
Is there any, you know, like Elie was alluding to before, a lot of people kind of feel like the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, they have like a head to
Rabbeinu Tam, you alluded to. Mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Tam, as you mentioned, we met Rabbeinu Tam.
I was wondering if there are any leniencies to extend.
Rabbeinu Tam, as you know, has a whole extra hour. That's very nice, but he has to be consistent. The person follows Rabbeinu Tam, so then he should be following Rabbeinu Tam all the time. Person is not doesn't keep Shabbos at the end. Mostly Shabbos take a bit of time. It's hard to suddenly wake up and decide to get a far bit of time down.
So if you're driving and getting close to Shkia and leaving the car or you know, getting the goy or doing a bit of time, then you pull over the car and you just get out.
Okay, nearly.
Okay,
nearly. Sorry?
I just have to go. I think does Rabbi have somewhere to go?
I was supposed to come here at 12 o'clock to do some kind of a video. Is anyone outside waiting for me? No one's there?
No one's there.
We keep going. Until they come, we can keep going. We'll get my voice again. Yes?
When we were saying all these things, using a guy to take a tax, let's see, is that only Shasat Chak?
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah, sure. Only Shasat. Yes?
Can I ask a question on a different subject?
Sure.
So on Kufrin Aleph on the base, there's the question of, it sounds like euthanasia, to quicken someone's death, you can make some kind of a potion, or you can rub his feet in a certain way, or something like that, right after the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could talk about that a little bit.
I can, as long as I have time. Again, there's some people who want to come in, but until they come, we can talk about that. A very serious topic. Right, can't do it justice in a few minutes. But look what it says over here. Tana Rabbanan. So close the eyes of a person who hasn't died yet. So then you're considered a murderer. Because that can make him die a little bit earlier than otherwise. We try very hard to avoid that. That's what Rashi calls not to be Makare Bisasa. So the question now is, how much must a person attempt to seek to it that everybody lives as long as they can possibly live? The Stipe was a famous letter, which he says, I never heard of Shechiv. Someone is sick. They're sick. The Chas will kill you. He's sick. And I'm a Chiv to do, turn the world upside down. He should live every last second. And I'm a Chiv. Rabbi Yashiv, that's how his Mechut disagreed. When the Stipe was very sick, back in 1985, everyone went to him for his whole life on medical stuff. He said, don't operate on me, it's not going to work, my time has come. He went to Rabbi Yashiv, he said, don't listen to him, do the operation. Did the operation, he was nifter. So, Stephen was right. When Rabbi Yashiv was sick, he said, you have to do everything. He sat 8 months in intensive care in Shaar Tzedek. You know, he died the way he lived, the way he paskin. The question is there a chiyuv to keep someone alive? With all these heroic measures for 8 months in intensive care, is that an obligation that exists in every single person? That's a very serious question. My answer to the question, the short answer, is it depends if it's reversible or irreversible. If it's reversible, you have to pull out all stops to try and make the person get better. But if it's irreversible, then a Moshe has, if it's irreversible, and the person's in pain, there's no mitzvah to keep him alive longer. This Gemara is here in Mark Subas. With Davin, the person should die because he's just suffering pain. It seems to me that now that a person is suffering pain that the doctors can measure and how they measure pain, so 1 to 10. If the person's just in a coma and you can't get out of that coma, impossible, according to natural science, never going to come out. You have to keep him alive long enough. Can't kill him.
So which way would you not keep him alive?
That's a question. That now becomes a very serious question. What's considered killing and what's considered just not making him live longer? So pulling the plug is a big tongue. Some say pulling the plug is killing him. Because until now he was breathing with this machine. He pulled the plug, he stops breathing. Other people say, no, I'm not killing him. He has a supply of oxygen. I'm stopping the supply. And if he dies, he goes, no, I didn't do anything. I'm just not giving him more stuff. For example, if it's an IV, almost everyone agrees, now I'm going to fill out the bag, put another bag of IV in. That's new. It's called withholding instead of withdrawing. The question is, what about with the oxygen? That's a serious matter. They try to do something now, it's a the person's on a ventilator, it should be for 24 hours. In other words, it's an automatic shutoff before you put them on. This way, if nothing's going, you see, it's hopeless. You just don't do anything, it's going to shut off 24 hours, you don't do anything. So much in the old days, they used to have these tanks of oxygen. Now you have to put it in a tank. Or when they would suction people, they'd have a suction. They'd have to pull the tube out, do the suctioning, which still exists in some places. Now you have to pull the tube back, put the tube back in again. Took it out for medical reasons, don't put it back in again. Or, I think once a case of brain death, very sad case. So I told the family, which included a physician, look, the machine gives the person 100% oxygen, 20 breaths a minute. It's more than you and I breathe. We breathe 21% oxygen 6 to 10 times a minute. So you can lower the machine the same way the normal person breathes. So did that. Oh, the numbers started, the bells started flying, the nurses came running. So what's this? When you put it up to that, no. So turn it off? No. The nuance. We don't want to turn it off. That's like pulling the plug, it's maybe worse. You don't want to leave it on fully because the person will live forever. So they did, and the person passed away. I found that same psak in the Steinberg's medical encyclopedia, quoted from Shlomo Zalman and from Rabbi Vozin. That everyone agrees it's not muska. Not muska. Yeah.
These are mostly examples where the person is unconscious or not aware of what's going on. Are there any examples, like maybe more similar to the story of Rabbi Hanani ben Tarayon, where it's some kind of, let's say a person can still have a terminal illness and be in extreme pain and decide themselves that they want to end it sooner?
Much harder. And today we have much better palliative care. In other words, the painkillers, they are much more advanced than they used to be. Now, of course, the problem is the most powerful is morphine. Morphine slows down the breathing. If you give too much morphine, you're killing it. It's very tricky. You got to give morphine just enough to dull the pain without killing him.
But theoretically, we're not in favor of the person deciding that they are not.
The Gemara has in the Sech, the Medrash says in Parshas Noach, by suicide, Yochol Shol Tamalo Ma'ach Shol HaMelech, wanted to kill himself, right? Because he was going to be tortured by the Pelishtim. Some say based on that, it's going to be terrible pain. I had a case, famous case.
I remember.
In camp. Yeah. Oh, man. I got a call from a rabbi here in America. One of his members of the shuls and going into Lebanon that night. And in Lebanon, it's shown that they capture you. They just torture you to death. He wanted to know if he was chatzishon captured, could he just take some cyanide and kill himself? I went passing Shadow, I've had to pass in that Shadow. So I called Rabbi Shechta. Rabbi Shechta started to cry back and forth. Told me if there's no choice, he could tell me it's okay. Thank God the person came back. All right. That story made its rounds. It was in the newspapers. I told my son, he told his man, he asked Rashut to put him in the story in the paper somewhere. Very difficult Shadows. Those are extremes. I'm talking about the average. But the typical day to day case in hospice care. Hospitals and homes are nice and before young the showers. Every day. Do I do the surgery? Don't I do it? Do I intervene? Don't I intervene? Hospice care, in my opinion, is very good. They try very hard to keep the people out of pain. Usually they're talking about people whose illness is irreversible and terminal. Once again, it's not Muslim. I had two hospice cases. And in both cases, the same rabbi came after me. What's this hospice? Show you once. But,
can I ask you another question? No, sure. A different topic. If a person's not Shomer Shabbos, so Medina de Gemara is like a goy.
That's the next Masechta. That's the Masechta on Aaron.
Okay, maybe, but the we came up in this Masechta too, I think, a little bit. But, no? I know there's different kulas that, you know, different poskim have had in more recent, you know, years. In your shul, I can ask, if somebody's not Shomer Shabbos, do you give him an aliyah? Do you let him do kibudim? How do you conduct yourself?
Well, if a Moshe has a shul, a person believes in God, you give him an aliyah. Makes the bracha, believes in God. It may be a desire not to give it a Chal Shabbos for Hesia and Aliyah for reasons that don't make sense. The Olas represented the cloud. They don't want it. They don't want it. They shouldn't do it. But Pashas, if it leaves the God, you give it Aliyah.
And then how do you define Shomer Shabbos? Like today, like there's so many Dinim of Shabbos, and you said like the person cleaning their stain on their shirt, the Kiddush. And so then who is Shomer Shabbos? Who's not Shomer Shabbos? Maybe we're all Chal Shabbos.
Say someone's Machal Shabbat and he drives in Shabbos. He does things that we know everyone else is also in Shabbos.
Yeah, but let's say people only talk business on Shabbos. You know, are they Shomer Shabbos?
Yes.
Or you know, so how do you define?
I told you, he drives in Shabbos, he's not Shomer Shabbos.
That's it, if you drive or don't drive, that's the whole thing.
So
he doesn't drive, he listens to the radio, and he's telling you Shomer Shabbos.
He's writing letters in Shabbat, at least the way people do it on the malachas. Yeah.
On a different topic. Kofnan Tet Amud Bet, we seem to have an allowance to do ribbis with your family or to gamble with them or whatever, draw lots with them, to teach them the ills of it, you know, why it's bad. So how far do we extend that kind of
That's a very, very good question. Very good question. Obviously, it's a chinuch opportunity. A person should be saved from doing real ribbis. It's not real ribbis. It would be real ribbis for yourself anyway, even within the family. It's important to know that. People think, it's my family, no reason for it. No. So if my shul came to me yesterday, so before I had the risk of ribbis between him and his sons, so very good, you got me to fill out the form. Ribbis is a serious problem within a family. Very serious problem. And they didn't do one real ribbis, it was just looked like ribbis, it smelled like ribbis. And he was trying to teach them how bad it is to borrow the ribbis. So they permitted something which no one otherwise would have been prohibited. But it's not real ribbis. We'll say that at a time. I'm sorry for my voice. I'm sorry I was a little disorganized today, but what to do.